On today's episode, we talk about Champions League. Did we think Real Madrid versus Manchester City would be happening so early? Who cares? It was amazing. We also talk about Everton versus Liverpool and Arsenal fans. Thank you very much, Christian.
So we also chat with Fafa Pico at MLS Media Day. He just joined Inter Miami. We talk all about that. The homie Fafa joining the Cooligans.
Come on, finally. And also, promotion and relegation in the USA. Again, we're talking about this. That and more today on the Cooligans. Okay, you know, I care about sneakers. It's an important thing for me, you know? Sure. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a sneakerhead, you know what I mean? I don't have a massive collection or anything like that.
Okay.
Probably have more than the average person, you know?
I went through that phase once, but then I grew up.
Yeah. Never. Let's go. But here's my thing. I'm not a big Jordan guy anymore. You know what I mean? I'm kind of bored. Everybody's got Jordans. To me, they're done. They're cooked, right?
Okay.
So I'm cool with, like, different sneakers and stuff. I love New Balance. I got a nice range. I'm seeing a lot of people. I'm taking the subway a lot more than I have in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing a lot of people with a lot of strange brands. But, you know, let's talk to, in particular, white dudes between the age of 30 and, like, 50.
Got it.
Where are you finding these brands? I saw someone wearing Levi's sneakers.
Mm.
But where did you find that?
I mean, maybe a Levi's?
That's okay.
Zappos?
Okay, here's my thing. You went into a pants store and you walked out with sneakers. You might have messed up. Like, how good is that salesperson who was like, oh, you want the denim to stop at the ankles? Your toes, dog.
If I'm asking white dudes between 30 and 50 why they do certain things, sneakers is not going to be the thing I ask them about.
Okay? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Taking my observation and seemingly making it seem way less important.
Okay.
Is this what you spend all your waking time doing? Is just thinking about the greater good?
Definitely not sneakers. I'll tell you that much.
Have you never once thought about anything just dumb and silly?
Yeah, from time to time. Just saying, the parameters that you set out in front of me don't make me think about. People's sneakers don't really bother me in general.
I've been seeing
bad brands, good brands.
ALO a lot.
I feel like
I'm seeing that a lot more.
Is that like a European?
I don't know, but they look like bootleg dunks.
But that's a lot of, there's a lot of
ALO is like the new Lululemon. They're like the what's in Lululemon.
Exactly.
Hey. So this is like an athleisure brand?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, these shoes don't be looking athleisure. They're chunky as hell. You know what they look like? They look like, you remember the off-white sneaker with the arrow?
Yeah, yeah.
They look like that.
All right.
They look like just an off-brand of that, but it says that. Here's my question. Where are you buying that? Is that sold in department stores or is that just sold at ALO stores?
That's a great question.
I mean, there are ALO stores in New York City. I don't know if they're also sold at department stores.
What makes you want to buy your sneakers? They don't sell those sneakers at any stores I go to or any websites I go to.
But there seems to be a trend or bucking the trend of like the trendy sneaker.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's corny to wear the shoes everyone else is wearing.
Exactly.
You ever see those dudes that are like a little bit older? It's usually like a dad who maybe used to be cool. Mm-hmm. They're wearing a lot of like, you know, the type of pants that you get sold on the internet. You know, like modern material runners. Look at their pants that are like comfortable but kind of look formal.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Until you get to the ankle and then they're kind of sweatpants all of a sudden.
Yeah, yes, I know exactly what
they
you're
wear. And then they'll wear like a really light blazer over like a very light hoodie. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's a look.
It's not a look I want. It's a look out there. It says, hey, I run a startup, but also I change my kid's diaper. That's the look, right? Nothing wrong with it.
Active dad.
Right? I'm in the drop-off line, or is it the pickup line? Well, there's a line at school. I don't know if it's the drop-off or the pickup. It might be both. This is not my territory, folks.
You went to school?
I went to school by foot, dog, or by school bus. I'm a childless adult, so I don't know how this works. But I know it's a big deal. You dress for the pickup or the drop-off, mm-hmm. right? But like, you want everyone else to know you got a corporate job. You got to sit on Zooms, so you throw that light blazer over the hoodie that's like too technical. It's got zippers and diagonals. It doesn't have the front kangaroo pocket. It's a crazy hoodie. Uh-huh. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't like it.
Okay.
The whole fit rubs me wrong. They'll throw on Jordan 5s and be like, I'm a hip now. from the ankle down, papa, that's it. That's why I don't rock with Jordans no more. There's too many of those dudes wearing Jordans. It's corny. It's like watching a dude say on fleek, you know?
Gotcha.
You're like, ugh, it makes you uncomfortable now. That's not our thing no more. That's your thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that, I'm cool with other brands. I'm all about other brands. But where are you finding those brands?
Some, look.
You've unearthed new brands.
But this is a...
You know which one? The one with the star on the side.
This is...
you know what I'm talking about? I think it's like called Golden Goose or whatever. By the way, Nico Cantor, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. Bro, he rocks these joints heavy. Where, why is your foot in the silhouette to begin with?
This is a, I think in general, it speaks to a larger problem where this is usually.
What, that people don't come to me for sneaker advice? Because they should.
That straight men don't really know how to dress themselves.
This is the thing.
This is a common.
There's no such thing as personal style anymore.
Right, right. And then, but then they also say like, you know, straight men, until they maybe get a girlfriend or get married, then maybe. But they usually say.
Wasn't a dresser until Taylor Swift came around. All of a sudden, he's like.
Incorrect. Because.
He was a hip hop dresser.
It was before because he had the black girlfriend.
And then all of a sudden.
The black girlfriend.
The beard.
Glow up. And then this was the whole conversation with.
But he dressed like.
Shows and the shits and gigs guys. And then you started a whole.
But when he had a black girlfriend, he was dressing a little bit more hip hop.
Yeah. No, he looked great.
I don't think he looked bad.
The beard was trimmed.
Listen, he dressed a lot more like me. But then all of a sudden, he starts dating Taylor Swift. And now it's like.
It's a different.
You dressy now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the beard looked different. The hair looked different. He's tweeting crazy. You know? A whole bunch of stuff.
Okay. And then he lost the Super Bowl.
Because you're shaking hands with that cheetah.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody.
This is what we do.
Hopefully you enjoyed Sneaker Chat with Alexis Guerreros.
Yo, what's on your feet?
We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros. What's up? I haven't hit this button in a while.
We have we pre-recorded the Monday episode, so we didn't really react to like the Super Bowl. Yeah. And so congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles, Saquon Barkley. We're all very happy.
I miss you, dog. You're a Jets guy, right?
No, I'm a Giants fan.
Oh, are you as well? All right, cool. We're all Giants fans.
But
we got nothing to be happy about.
But we got a lot of great feedback for the Francisco Moya interview. So shout out to the city council.
Citation.
We're the first.
Normally, citations are like, you parked incorrectly. Like, this is the first citation I was very happy about.
We need more citations in our lives after we receive that citation. Yeah. So thank you.
And we're invited to City Hall. Now that you didn't believe me.
I don't know if you've heard, I wasn't sure. I watched the clip back.
You were in shock.
And he did say
the man
where
invited
I work
us.
At City Hall and we're invited.
The man
in.
Invited us to City Hall. I might bring my mom to that.
Okay, wow.
I don't even know if anything happens.
Like, says it like it's a brave thing for him to do. Yes,
I might bring your mom. I know wife would come in, but I might have Daisy pull up. I might have her hit me with a chancleta it's happening.
As the citation is being handed.
You think we're going to get a key to the city?
I don't think so. Our show has contributed so much to the community and to society, to everything we've done in New York.
We should get a key to
taxes in New York City.
We should get a key to something. You know?
A key to something. That's it.
Just give me a key to something. You have to tell me what it is. I'll figure it out. I got a lot of time in this city.
It could be a rusty ass key.
Yo, it could be whatever. I bet you there's like a secret politician public bathroom.
With a skeleton key.
Right?
You know?
There's like an old, there's like a subway station that no one uses anymore, right?
And it's just a bathroom.
And politicians could go in there and use a bathroom. It is one of those old skeletons. As you turn it. One of those urinals that goes all the way to the ground. You know what I'm talking about? In the old bars and restaurants. Remember them joints?
A urinal that goes all the way to the ground?
You've never seen this before?
You mean like underground?
No, it goes to the floor. Okay. The urinal extends all the way to the floor.
Okay, yes, I've used those, of course.
Yeah. All right, because why just pee on your legs above your caps?
You can pee on your sneakers.
Pee on your sneakers, especially if you're wearing bust-ass sneakers. Oh, Francisco Moya, look at what we can bring to City Hall.
Today, we will not be talking about urinals with our guests or anything like that. We're going to be joined by Fafa Pico, who we chatted with at MLS Media
Who's
Day.
Who's as fast as A?
As an eagle, I guess. Yeah, I
mean, eagles are fast.
More of a cheetah. He's more of a cheetah. He taught. Like,
I think you know what? I think he also fly. So you get
eaten. So Fafa Pico, we spoke to him in Miami at MLS Media Day, and you'll get to hear that conversation. It's obviously he just joined the team, and Fafa's the homie. Now he's playing with Lionel Messi and all these guys. It's like we're so happy for him.
Yeah.
And obviously,
this feels a lot like when. we're all friends, like somewhat with Pete Davidson, like, especially at this in this era, we were a little bit more friendly with him than he once he completely blew up. But when he started dating Ariana Grande, we were all like, you know, every time I walked in the room, like,
yo, can you believe our lives?
Yo, I can't believe this is happening to us, you know? This is how it feels like. Five of me go. We're all so playing with Messi.
We're all on, man. You know
what I mean? This guy will be like,
it's just a crazy life that we all lead, you know?
Yo, it's wild.
So we'll try. With
it's enchanting. By the way, you saw he got all his tattoos removed?
Fafa?
No, Pete Davidson. Spent $200,000. He's got no tattoos on him.
That's remarkable. That must have been painful. Covered.
I can imagine it's pretty painful.
Okay.
He's been through a lot.
I think he was into that pain. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. Whatever. So, I hope you continue.
Let's start today talking Champions League because we had some big games, especially on Tuesday. And we got to start off with Manchester City against Real Madrid. The matchup that happened too early.
I disagree.
Too early.
Because what else would we have talked about now? Feyenoord versus Juventus? You know what I mean?
That would have been fine.
That would have been a fun match.
They played Milan, obviously. But yes,
they played Milan. But what I'm saying is a different matchup is not exactly what we would have wanted. This is still fun because of not just the drama associated with it. There was this feeling that Manchester City were starting to slide out of their slide out of this, kind of monumental collapse that they've experienced.
I would say more of a downward spiral, right? Not really a free fall.
It's pretty free fallish compared if you grade it on a curve to the rest of Pep Guardiola's career.
Of course.
This is horrendous. This is the Great Depression. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And his lady leaves him, bro. You got no shorty. You got no W's. It's rough. That's a collapse, bro.
Bad combo.
That's like you playing Jenga. You just do one of these is what happened to this man's career and life.
But
so for this match, we're like, oh, this is a different Manchester City. They've kind of started to piece it together a little bit. They got a couple of hits and misses, but they're kind of figuring it out. Could they withstand the onslaught? This is probably the perfect time for Real Madrid to have to face them because they're like, yo, you don't want to go a little bit later in the season and they completely figure it out and maybe get some pieces back. I thought this was the perfect time for Real Madrid to face them. And boy, did it work out for them.
Yes. This at Etihad. It started off strong. We don't really get to see TIFOs in English football. Do they even allow big TIFOs like this that we're looking at?
They allow it. It's just not a part of the custom.
It's not a big culture. It's also a thing that I think fans in England look down on. Like, we're here for the
art? Yeah. Oh, you did art before the game? Yeah. Get on with it, mate. You know, that's their big thing. Is we're here for the football.
We're looking at the TIFO, the stop crying your heart out, and it's Rodri holding his Ballon d'Or trophy, kissing the Ballon d'Or trophy, and Rodri doing the you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Yeah.
Recording it or taking
also,
a photo.
Also, Rodri added himself as a Samsung Galaxy guy? Is that what this is?
Google
Pixel?
In Europe. I don't think.
I feel like.
No, it's not about feeling. We look at the numbers. Android is very, very popular.
Not as popular. It's more popular than it is here.
Yeah, yeah. Because more affordable.
I mean, now y'all got money. iPhone, you know what I mean? Y'all not broke boys, bro. You got money. You can go iPhone.
Yeah.
This man is ruining every group chat. Although they use WhatsApp, so I guess that doesn't really matter.
Exactly. So it's not really much of an issue. But.
Interesting now.
A fun start, because especially with the season that Manchester City are having, to do this TIFO, it's like, all right. Slow it down, because there's nothing guaranteeing you're gonna win this game.
I also think to do a TIFO when your entire league is not really known for it, especially the TIFO seems like it was printed. This doesn't even seem painted.
It's
high quality.
They just
the sheik was involved. You know what I mean?
It is very like they know a guy.
This is like,
you know,
billboard.
I mean? Like, this is a very good. This is a high quality. 4K. Type of TIFO.
100% 4K. This is a little bit much, right? This looks like a YouTube thumbnail. Does it not? This looks like a big-ass YouTube thumbnail.
It's also, I mean, if we're critiquing the TIFO itself, stop crying your heart out is like not the words I would choose. It's not really bantery enough. It's like, stop crying your heart out. Like,
no, this is the first opportunity for the team of the Ballon d'Or winner to get back at the guy who didn't go, whose whole team didn't go. So I get this. This makes sense to me. I maybe agree with you.
It's like weirdly polite.
It's like there's a wittier way to do it. But also, it's very, most TIFOs are like on white you know what I mean? Like a white or a colored
yeah,
canvas.
Yeah, it's like a little hard
this
to see.
This looks like it was printed at a Kinko's. Like a massive Kinko's. It's just an odd thing. But
Kinko's
also,
XXL, bro. I know,
bro. The big and tall Kinko's, bro.
Big and tall Kinko's.
Which we'll call it. For this, I felt like the same way you felt. Where I watched this and I was like, nah, man, y'all probably shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, it's
y'all not playing really well right now.
Right? It's like, this is not the time to be talking smack. Because you, how many 2-0 leads have Manchester City given up in the last, like, 6-7 weeks?
I posted this on Blue Sky. Shouts to Blue Sky. I was like, yo, City scoring is not the issue. City stopping teams from scoring late on them is very much the issue. And that's exactly what this game became.
Because, yes, obviously, Real Madrid will end up winning 3-2.
On Manchester your own City, countrymen, bro. Two Bellingham scoring the winner late.
On your own? Okay, yeah. I mean, when you say your own countrymen, I'm like, Ederson? No.
No.
You mean against an
English...
There were
Brazilians involved, though.
Yeah. An English team. Yeah, this is a, again, Manchester City have the lead. And then, they got a penalty as well. And did that also give them the lead?
No, I think that equalized, if I'm not mistaken.
What was the, okay, yeah, Man City, then the, no, that gave them the lead. Yeah, yeah. The penalty gave them the lead.
Oh, that's right. Two goals were scored late.
And then, yeah.
Raheem Diaz scores. Raheem Diaz. The former player.
That's right, who didn't celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's funny? And this is another conversation that I think not enough people talk about. He scored, did not celebrate. But then at the end, Jude Bellingham scored. And he's doing a coordinated dance with Jude Bellingham. I'm like, all right. So which is it? Like, just because you don't score.
Oh, you think you have to be. There's a word for it where you're like.
Demure. I would say. Like, you have to be a little bit.
You got
to
be demure the whole time?
I would say so. I mean, I understand, like, you not celebrating. Your team comes with you in a group and you're like, hey, we did it. All right, good.
I feel like once you do that, you're a good citizen. Now you can celebrate.
Now you can literally, you could twerk after somebody 100%. Else scored.
You can make a clap. After that, you're good. Because now you're celebrating for your friend.
Right. But yeah, it was just, you know.
Like if me and
Bellingham, I love, but Bellingham didn't really even celebrate until Brian Diaz got there. And then they started doing the like.
It was like a funky walk. And then he turned and did his joint.
Exactly. But as Brahim is celebrating with him, I'm like, okay, are you showing respect for the club by doing the dance with just because your other teammate scored? So I don't know. We'll put up a poll. Like, is it okay to celebrate
someone else's
goal if you played for the team in the past? I also understand, like, you a big like pile on and everybody's it's a late goal. Of course, you're gonna celebrate.
But you think the choreographed
dance?
Yeah,
seems to be like
in that disrespectful category.
You're going into a little bit of disrespect.
I disagree. You were like, hey, I'm goody.
He's like, all right.
Yeah. Once you do that. Hey, we have our agreement is settled.
Sure.
End of contract. You know?
So, it was a... look, the game itself was... I mean, we can really just focus on Manchester City and Erling Haaland. Again, you know, they have possession and stuff like that. But they whatever it is that Real Madrid do, and we sort of talk about this every year when it comes to Ancelotti and like, you know, you hear... players talk about Ancelotti, and he's a player manager. Mm-hmm. I just seen an interview, I forgot with who, but they were saying that, Abdoulaye Doucouré, he was talking about when Ancelotti was at Everton, and he was saying that, it was on the overlap, right? And he was saying that he didn't understand what was like the magic of Ancelotti until he was really being like coached by him, where he didn't understand why players who didn't play were still happy to be a part of the team and happy to continue supporting. Like, that isn't a normal thing. Like, players that are benched are usually pissed off and they hate that they're not playing. But Ancelotti maintains communication and conversation with those players that are on the bench and tells them, like, you're going to get your opportunity. Mm-hmm. We need you. We need you to show that support. And players that are on the bench are still happy about it. And this is kind of what Real Madrid, they do this every kind of Champions League where it's just like, they find a gear that other teams just don't seem to really have. And I think this just sort of plays out. Manchester City playing under pressure, panicking, making mistakes. And Real Madrid are like, if we make mistakes, but we still believe in each other, we still have that faith, and this, I think this game is a perfect example of
this
that.
Is also, for me, I think what you're talking about leads me to what my point is. This game felt like what your best attribute is also their biggest weak point. City give up leads. City give up goals at the end of games. Real Madrid find magic at the end of matches. Put that two together, and you have exactly what we saw here today. Which, by the way, even though City are in a rough patch, this was still a clash of the titans. This was still a wonderful match to watch. This was still exciting. This still had drama. This still needed Real Madrid to win in the dying seconds. And you saw Pep Guardiola's face. He was as confused as anyone else. How does this happen again? And when I watch this, I get so confused as to how people say, oh, missing Rodri isn't what's causing all this. How are you saying that when it's very clear the one thing you need is someone patrolling the front line, because he went back to inverted fullbacks in this game to give his defensive midfielders and the two-man back line, essentially, he plays with, a bit more coverage. The reason you need to invert your fullbacks and they're not forward overlapping and creating overloads or just creating overloads is because you don't have a defensive midfielder as good as naturally finding positions and stopping attacks as Rodri. A lot of this is him trying to cover for not having a player of Rodri's ilk. Right. And you see that that gives you those spaces. This sport simply is about finding available space and advantages. And now you have one. And if you have one against City, there's a chance that you can manipulate that to your favor over the course of 90 minutes. And we're seeing time and time again, they're finding that.
I mean, but look at the lineup. Look how many center backs they have. I mean, mm-hmm. I know they're dealing with injuries, and obviously Kyle Walker left. But Gvardiol, Nathan Ake, Ruben Diaz, Manuel Kanji, John Stones,
yeah,
playing that central defensive mid role. These are five center backs.
And you attack with, you leave two.
Right.
So you've got three center backs roaming around trying to find goals.
So I think the concern here is the player profile that, especially Pep, since he's been at City, kind of looks for is like players that can play in multiple positions. And
center backs that are essentially midfielders.
I'm saying they're five center back, but like Gvardiol, Akanji, they came, their former clubs,
yeah,
they were center backs.
Yeah. John Stones,
Everton, center back.
Right.
Nathan Ake was at Bournemouth, was at Chelsea, yeah, center back. And yeah, sometimes plays fullback and can.
Right. Sprightly, active, athletic enough to play multiple positions, but we're talking about center backs.
Exactly. So there's a limit to what you can really do with the and I would argue Gvardiol, to me, even though he's been scoring a bunch of goals and stuff like that, to me, he is still a center back. This is last season, I think everything worked out because the chemistry was kind of perfect and they won the league and everything.
Rodri was available.
But this time, not having Rodri shows the weakness of some of these other players.
And it's not just this time. People who say this just don't know what they're talking about. Because if you go back, we constantly were fed infographics on social media of here's how many matches City win,
yeah,
with Rodri. And when he's out, they draw or they lose. It's constant.
Yeah, yeah.
And now to take him out of the team for an entire season, you're seeing the effects of that.
Did you hear that he might come back this season?
They want him. They want him back the end of the season.
That sounds like abuse, bro. I don't know.
Bro, take your time, bro.
That's how desperate it's getting. Pep is like, look, I know the tendons in your knee have not fully connected to each other yet.
We're gonna dip your leg in horse placenta and wish for the best.
So Manchester City have the problem, and just credit to the second half of Real Madrid, I thought was fantastic. I mean, they just play with in a dynamic, fun way.
It's not just that. There's this belief that the ghosts of Real Madrid past will guide you towards goal and find these open opportunities. And it works every time. It's really frustrating.
Even Valverde, who was playing at right back in this game, to have him as the right... Look, obviously, he's a much more of a defensive liability because that is not really his main position. But to have a guy like that who can spring forward or even get into the midfield or get into a rebound, something.
Okay.
And then rocket the ball.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Okay. One of my favorite things about watching Real Madrid is if you pass the ball to Valverde and he is within 35 yards of the goal, he will just as hard as he can one time and I go. Bro. And let me tell you something. Every time the ball gets past him, my butthole goes like this. I just spring up in my seat a little bit it's so exciting. He had a shot that just about went wide. Just about. But the pace of that ball, I was like, woo! I actively and loudly went, woo! As I'm watching.
Valverde is like just literally one of the cleanest strikers of the ball.
Yeah.
In world football.
But not if he has time. If he has time, he will look for a pass. He never wants the ball at his foot. If you pass him the ball, he will just pop a shot. And it is beautiful to see. It makes me so excited every time he does it.
The other Champions League we
Buddy,
won.
Talk your shit, okay? Everton.
Oh, no. The other Champions League game. Oh. We got one more.
We're going to talk about
it. Yeah. Just Juve and their 2-1 win against PSV.
Speaking of America.
And Weston McKennie gets a goal here. And
was he captain in this game as well?
He was not captain in this game. But he's always going to be our captain.
Salute, my guy. I'm going to give you the European salute. You know how them dudes do.
I loved, the goal was just fantastic. And Weston McKennie is just one of those players. If he is, speaking of a Valverde type, he's not really a long distance striker, but he is very like a, if I'm there, if you give me the chance, I'm going to go for it.
Can we talk about Weston McKennie? He's, for the second season in a row, a different manager told him, you are not in my plans.
Yeah.
Go find yourself another club.
Weston said, get new plans.
Yo, Weston said, I don't know if you heard, but you going to love me. Similar to what I think I did to you, which is you're like, I don't think I can put up with this guy. And here I am, an active part of your life, whether you like it or not. This man has gone from that to his coach just saying, it's impossible to keep him out of the starting 11. He is that essential of a player. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know the exact phrase he used. But Weston must be on the field. Gushes over, and he did call him special player. This is what I'm talking about. This guy has been, he started at left back, right back. He started in the midfield. He started at striker. He has started all over this pitch.
Winger, he's played everywhere.
Yeah, winger, literally everything but goalkeeper. He's the only thing he hasn't done is put on the gloves. And this man has shined. That may not be his best position, but he is one of those Swiss Army knife type players that you want on the pitch at some point. And also, the way other players talk about him, like, oh, he brings that American thing where he's like fun and always laughing and always wants to everyone have a good time. He's great in the locker room. He's great outside the locker room. He's great on the pitch. He proves you wrong. He has the self-awareness and the self-confidence to say, I don't care if you tell me I'm not part of the plans.
Yeah.
I'll show you. Remember, there was a rumor that this guy was going to go to FC Cincinnati. We heard on the low that there was part ownership. He was trying to negotiate part ownership as part of that deal.
Oh, well, like a messy deal.
Yeah, when he leaves the deal, he's still a part owner of the club. There was real conversations happening.
That's real pull.
By the way, first of all, shouts to Weston McKennie. You're like, you want me? Give me a call. You know what I mean? The car's mine now. You know, I'll eat at your restaurant, but now I own the restaurant. Yeah, okay, yeah. No, it's now Applebee's brought to you by Weston McKennie.
Some of the comments were great from Mota. I mean, we're looking at one here. It says, quote, it's impossible to leave him on the bench. He's such a special player. He continued on, Weston is special. He's a great player, a great guy. He has played fullback, holding midfielder, attacking midfielder, midfielder, winger. He's a top-level player. When I say that a top-level player can play everywhere, it's because I know what I'm talking about. I've been in football for many years. When you ask where players should play, it's not something that concerns me. Weston plays everywhere, and he has to be on the field. And he continues. I just... the glazing is in full effect.
Calmate, Mota. Bro, this guy has impressed Pirlo. When he was his manager, he's impressed Allegri. Mm. He's won over both of those.
It wasn't first impression. No. He had to earn it.
And you know what? I don't want to sit here and talk about whether it's because he's American or this, but I think Weston McKennie is one of those players where you're like, I'm not exactly sure what you do just yet. You know what I mean? There's not one position where I say you're overwhelmingly the best in that one position.
Yeah.
But I think this is exactly what Weston McKennie does that's so great, which is he is such an exceptional footballing mind. He understands the sport of soccer. He has such a high soccer IQ and he's so athletic and he's so willing to put his body on the line and he's so willing to be brave. He's so willing to make a run. He's so willing to put himself in a position where he knows he has to track back, but he's like, I know if I run forward, I can help the team. He's so willing to do those things that regardless of where you put him. He will find a way to impress. And I think going into 2026, there was a lot of worry about maybe he comes back to MLS. We don't know where he is. Coaches don't want him. Going into the World Cup 2026, I am so confident to say that now we have a third or fourth must write in player.
Yeah.
Like, this is like no more, right? The Berhalter days of like, I know my 11 and then maybe you can fit. Those days are gone. Pochettino's going to figure out who he wants to play, regardless of what the structure is based on your club form or if he trusts you. Christian Pulisic, guaranteed. Anthony Robinson, guaranteed. Sergiño Dest, if he's healthy, I'm pretty sure he's guaranteed to begin. Weston McKennie, without a doubt, write him in the marker, bro. Guy's guaranteed to start in the men's national team.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see. I mean, and just in the last couple of weeks, I mean, the Mota talking about, you know, he's playing at fullback. That when he played in the Supercopa, the semifinal against Milan that they ended up losing, but the he played a left back. And just seeing him, and you don't even consider, he's a right-footed player. What the hell is he doing at left back?
Right.
You have the questions like, can he technically play in that position? Can he physically?
Is his instinct.
Yeah. Can he physically play in that? Is he fast enough? Fullbacks are generally faster than a central defensive midfielder like McKennie. And like what you mentioned, just the soccer IQ. The fact that he is able to play in any of those positions and not look out of place. He never looks lost. It's never misplaced passes. It's never getting out of trouble.
Also, when he's like up close to the halfway of the pitch line and they're in attack and he just pings a diagonal right to the foot of an attacking midfielder, I'm like, you got it all in your locker.
Yeah, just fantastic to see. So great to, you know, they ended up winning. A bummer for PSV that obviously
there's a couple Americans upset on there.
Ricardo Pepi not being available, and it looks like he's going to be out for the season.
Yeah, that's a rough
which sucks. Game. It could have been a different matchup, but still a tough matchup in that second leg because PSV definitely do have.
McKennie said in the postgame, "I like beating my fellow Americans." He was joking, but it was nice.
Love it.
Nice to see. I want to read a tweet out to you.
Go for it.
And now, as soon as I say that,
I can also I can put it up on screen.
You can put it up on screen if you want. Yeah. So Ellie Menjam, friend of the show, one of the most gifted footballing documentarians, soccer documentarians of all time. What an honor that we get to call him a friend of the show and a friend of ours. He put this. He was watching the Everton-Liverpool match, and he said the timing, the goal, the history, the significance, the Laz Derby at that stadium, the fact a center back scored that 3 minutes after extra time finished. For this Everton side to do that against that Liverpool side, one of the greatest moments in the history of British football. I said it truly had everything, right? The lineup including playing the team that gave them, Everton gave Liverpool their stadium. And in the last day of their own grounds, on the way to their new stadium, they find a way to draw and equalize late. Both teams playing, down from their starting 11 with both getting red cards. The beauty of this game, the pageantry, the poetry of it is something that I don't think you can really minimize. Although everyone who replied to this tweet seems to not really care. Right. I think of Liverpool fans. I want you to talk to me just what was it like watching this game?
Oh, right.
So, you're an Everton fan.
Yes, I am an Everton fan, just a preface. This was a game where I could have totally emotionally processed a loss. Because you go into the Everton, the season that we've had is quite obvious.
Right.
And not really.
The derby's very one-sided now.
Yes, it is generally one-sided. I mean, not now, the last like 15 years.
But you know what I mean. Meaning on the way both teams are playing right now, you would expect
100%.
This is a rough one for Everton.
But
even though Everton always put up a good fight.
But this is the David Moyes era, okay? So things are a little bit different.
2.0. The reboot.
Okay, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay. Yeah, there's all our super young fans are really know what that means.
This was a game, and in just the last few weeks, Everton have won three of the last four of the last five, something like that. And there was a little bit of like, yeah, we might lose, but it ain't going to be like a brutal defeat like we're sort of used to this season. But watching this game, and obviously seeing the end, if you I mean, if you didn't watch, just go watch the highlights if you have not. But the Merseyside Derby ends it with a stunning equalizer from center back James Tarkowski. In the end, just a scramble. Jack Harrison trying to get the ball in. A ball in sent by Mikalenko. Mm-hmm. Eric Bonham, if I'm saying his name correctly, gets a head on. The ball bouncing in the box. It makes it a complete bedlam. And it's just not what you're used to when Liverpool is playing and Virgil van Dijk is on the pitch and mm-hmm. when he's like, we're not letting balls bounce in the box.
Right.
And balls bouncing around, an Everton player gets ahead to it on the volley. James Tarkowski smashes it in. One of the great moments. So what I loved about Ellie's tweet was you read the tweet, but a lot of the comments were like, oh, they're celebrating a draw.
Yeah.
You know, Virgil van Dijk, even after the game, said, oh, we get that this is their cup final. It's like, bro.
Nah, that's petty. Yeah, that means you won.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. You wanted 3 points.
Yeah.
I know that, Virgil.
Yeah.
So it's like, I generally don't have a...
That's like if you're in an argument with your girl and she goes, oh, yeah, well, you're a jerk. That means you won. That means you won.
Okay.
Oh, you ran out of ammo.
You have no more arguments,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
So when this happened, and honestly, so when I read Ellie's tweet, because he was basically... had to reiterate to people and say, like, hey, it wasn't just a goal or an equalizer. It was the last ever Merseyside derby at this stadium mm-hmm. that's been around for over 120 years.
Yeah.
It is incredibly significant and meaningful. And it's a stoppage time 2 minutes past what extra time was supposed to be. Shout out Michael Oliver. Nobody gives him his flowers.
Yeah.
You know, Arsenal fans, why don't you give him more credit than he...
Well, I mean, he did give Arnautsson a red card at the end of the match.
He did.
Yeah.
So the...
Which could help out Arsenal.
So I'll say this. And what I truly felt after the Tarkowski scored that goal, the first thing that went through my mind were the conversations that we were having when you were asking me, what team in the Premier League do you want to support? And I was like, oh, I'm going to pick Everton. And you're like, what? Why are you? What a ridiculous
Why
thing.
Are you doing this to yourself? I think, but quote, word for word.
Moment, that goal is why I did this to myself. Because moments like that, Premier League and just football in general, it's like, yeah, not every team is going to win trophies. Your team may never, ever win a trophy in your history of you ever supporting them. That is a total possibility.
Cardi, all right?
I've seen my team win a trophy.
Yeah. Oh, the Audi Cup? That was crazy.
2008 Carling
Cup.
Yeah, 2008
Carling
Cup. The Carabao Cup is still a trophy.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. I mean, this is just funny.
What was the parade like?
This is a team. He supports a team that their claim to fame is winning the most FA Cups, but I can't celebrate a Carabao Cup.
The most. Not we did it once. The most out of any other team.
So that was my general feeling. I loved that I love that it spoiled something for Liverpool. I love that it provided a fantastic moment at Goodison Park, especially the last Merseyside derby. And again, your club is going to win a trophy or whatever. But again, the moment, the community, my group chat, my Everton group chat,
which is Sad Boys Unite, bro.
Okay. I loved that moment, getting to share that with everyone. So
you know what it felt like from a neutral? It felt like Everton was saying, like, all right, y'all the big bad wolves. Y'all can't be stopped. Y'all are looking like you're winning everything. Top of the Champions League, top of this league. You're pretty much undefeated other than a few slip-ups here and there, but not in our house.
You can't beat us.
No, you ain't celebrating in our house.
Why? It's like there's something about a Merseyside derby where everybody's like stats. Like if you're playing EAFC, yeah. And the stats are like, you know, you got the best players and best cards.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, yo, no, this is gonna be a prison scrap.
Right. Your card is 92? Well, right now everybody's 55. Okay. All of us.
Well, all our cards are brown, bro.
Damn. And you getting in the pack and you never heard of us.
Okay.
Silver right. Packs only, bro.
Bronze boys.
Yeah, let's go.
So, no, loved it. Loved it. Great Merseyside derby. I'm sure Liverpool fan not super happy with it, but I'm sure Arsenal fans are happy still.
It made the Kai Havertz news
feel a little bit better. Yeah,
a little bit better.
All right, let's get to our conversation with Fafa Pico of Inter Miami. This is, yeah, we like I said earlier, we spoke to him at MLS Media Day in Miami, and it was nice. We were just, it wasn't even like, oh, let's hit up the comms.
The comms, no, no.
Nah, let's text Fafa because he's here with us.
We slid right into my guy's iMessages.
Okay, can you say that,
man? Nah, you can't.
Okay, so here's our conversation with Fafa Pico. The homies coming through.
Wow, this is a family meeting.
Family meeting. We're just trying to catch up after New Year's. But this
one
is...
One of our cousins just moved. that's what happened.
Okay.
Came back from Canada.
I like to say he's pretty in pink.
Yay!
because we are joined by the new one of the newest members of Inter Miami, the one and only Fafa Pico.
Fafa.
Bro, I mean, look, full disclosure. As soon as we heard the news... I hit you up, sent you a text. I'm like, bro, this is. I feel like I also joined into Miami, bro. This is, I'm so excited about what 2025 is going to look like for you. This is just, it's one of those things where you are a player. You've played at several MLS clubs. People know you. You get tons of respect, and this is the biggest stage, and you've done it against this team. And now to join this team, and obviously, I don't even need to say the names of your new teammates, but the first question to you is, how did it happen?
Yeah.
You got the text, you got
out?
The call, when you knew that, because I had heard there were several teams that were interested in you, but to make this decision, I imagine wouldn't have been that hard to come back home, but what were your first feelings?
First feelings when I knew there was even an interest were just... I was just thrilled at the possibility of coming back to be near my family, my friends.
Yeah, that was definitely the first thing I thought.
I honestly, I promise you,
I've been gone. You gonna lie on our show?
I'm not lying.
No, I was thinking about my family.
Think about the food.
Yeah, there you go. The food, okay.
It's been almost 17 years with a slight break in between where I haven't gotten to live near my family. And, you know, the opportunity to come back and play in front of family, friends, and also play with legends and compete for some big things is amazing. So it's kind of, you don't know which one's more important. Obviously, family's so important to me. So having that opportunity mixed with that, it's a win-win, and everything came full circle.
That's beautiful. But when you heard, you sent him congratulation text. When I heard, I sent you a text and say, give me that autograph message. You know what I'm saying? You know, do what you got to do.
Win the trophy. Do what you got to do.
No, you
I need
get
that
your
shirt.
Personal accolades.
I need that
shirt. Let me get the one. I need something
I need
I can
that
sell.
Shirt.
No, it doesn't matter the size. It's going on eBay.
I mean, we're joking around, but there's no way your phone has not been blown up with asking for a couple of favors.
Crazy.
What,
it's
the
crazy.
Cousins or the uncles? Who's been the wildest, the most egregious request?
The cousins.
It's the cousins people who grew up next to your family.
Next
they think they're cousins.
If they did.
Yeah.
I got so many calls from people that they're just numbers that I don't even recognize.
Yo, when like, the text starts with remember me, and you know you're getting a lot of
requests. Some people really try to be subtle, so it's kind of funny. Right. It's like, yo, man, how you, like, they saw the signing. Yeah. I haven't heard from you for 7 years.
Yeah.
They seen the signing, and they're like.
They didn't call you in Vancouver once.
Not once. No. Nobody was there.
You want to try to go to a BZ place?
I got three visitors in 10 months in Vancouver. Now everybody's like... Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about moving to South Florida. Any tips?
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, when I don't respond, they hit me with another double text like, oh my gosh, I just saw the news. Congrats.
Yeah.
And
I'm crazy.
Like,
it is crazy.
I air those texts.
Yeah, it's crazy that you reached out.
Dude.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I'm most proud of for you is just how long you've been in this league, and you've proven it every step of the way. And you mentioned, like, you get an opportunity to play for some big things here. You know, when you were in Nashville, you guys were trying to win something. You're going to Vancouver, bit of a different situation. Now you're coming here. The expectations are set high. How's that feel like for you? Because, like, yo, you know what you can do in this league. And now you're in a position where, like, yo, expectations are set, where you got to go MLS Cuppers, bust. How's that feel for you?
I think it's exciting for me because I think even statistically or just game-wise for people that don't know, I kind of played on some teams that maybe weren't the prettiest teams or the most star-studded team, so people kind of don't notice or know a lot of the things or the games that I've played in this league. So coming here, where it's an opportunity to show that and show the player I am, at the same time, continue to grow because you never stop learning. It's a great opportunity. I'm just thankful for it.
And real quick, yeah, I mean, you guys had your first training session yesterday. I saw the photos walking up to the training. I mean, your smile in the photo that they posted was like, yo, I'm here,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I did it. I'm here.
Notice the cocoa butter in the picture.
Oh, no, we noticed.
Yeah,
listening.
I know. Yeah, it was yeah. Had it in the hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Palmers.
So, I mean, as far as and what you, because I already know, like, you're already envisioning certain plays, certain goals, certain moments. I mean, what are you truly, like, most excited about? I mean, the easy thing to say is, like, yo, I get to play with Messi, and that will always be on my resume. But what are you sort of looking forward to as far as bringing your game and gelling that on this team?
Yeah, I think the thing I'm most excited about is bringing a new dimension. I think speed behind the lines.
Slow feet don't eat.
Slow feet don't
yeah,
eat.
That's it.
We trying to eat.
Yeah.
So I
I'm
think
hungry
that,
already.
También. I think just the opportunity to play amongst these players and have to do maybe even less when it comes to I'm gonna have maybe less attention on me because there's other guys I got to worry about as well. So you know it's. It might be easier, but at the same time, I'm going to put in as much as I have to do to help the team.
Well, Fafa, your family, bro. I know you're getting waved at by a lot of people behind the camera.
I just know you are salivating at the thought of those through balls that Messi's going to be
sending. Man, I was sleeping, like no cap. I was sleeping, and I woke up on a run getting a ball in. Oh, Cap, that's
he was
big, that's big Cap.
The sheets on tape. He was moving.
I was in there.
Bro, thank you for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you guys
job,
for having
man.
Me.
Best of luck.
Legend,
so
thank you guys.
Excited for you, brother.
Wow, Fafa Pico, what a... That's what a good friend.
What a good friend, the homie. Just family at this point.
I couldn't be happier for the guy. I could be happier for us.
Yes, we all did this together. I mean, it is a...
we're definitely going to benefit from this somehow. Sweet.
It's like, you know, it's like when you see, you know, like WAGs after somebody wins like a championship. Right. And they're like, babe, we did it.
We
and
did
it's
it,
like,
man.
All right, yeah. Did we do it?
We was shooting with him in the gym. I just want you to know that. We were shooting content, but we were there. You know what I mean? I want to thank Fafa for doing this for us.
No, it's great to see not only him, like, you know, kind of move back home and be around family. And then
you
also,
you can tell the weight is lifted off his shoulders.
And essentially just and play for one of the most high-profile teams in the world. I mean, I think it's something where I know more and more people are going to get to see Fafa play than probably ever before in his career.
Probably put together. But,
And it'll be just such a cool thing. So
I'm happy for the
guy. He deserves
he's also just
spotlight.
Like a good dude. He's just a really good dude and a fun guy to be around.
100%.
So. Really happy. Let's talk about the U.S. soccer landscape because on our way into the studio today, it done all changed. You know?
We got a bombshell article from Paul Tenorio of The Athletic.
Yeah.
Boom. With about USL shaking things up a little bit.
Yeah. So there was a lot of conversation about how USL can, you know, make themselves more known on the U.S. market, what they could do differently. And no one's bingo card had become another top division, become another top flight division. And that's exactly what they're doing. So this is for the 26-27 year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what they're aiming for. But the headline just says, move over Major League Soccer. A rival top flight men's league is coming to the U.S.
Yeah,
bro.
And you really love this Telestrator thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a new Telestrator, bro. All right.
That's besides the point. Let's talk USL Championship becoming the next top flight. This is, I think, massive news, and you, not so much.
Yeah, I'm not. This is a little bit
You're
of
nonplussed.
I'm what?
You've never heard of that before?
I'm nonplussed.
Nonplussed. I don't know if I used that correctly, Carter. If you can confirm that.
Nonplussed.
If you could define that for us, Carter, that'd be great.
Yikes.
You are so nervous. Anytime I use a word, you don't think I know.
I'm not nervous. It's just like,
Carter?
It's one of those things where...
So dictionary.com says it's when you're surprised and confused so much that you are unsure how to react.
well, I'm not unsure how to react. But there's something about you using the word that makes me want to bully you. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Also, it makes me want to bully myself because I used it incorrectly, which makes me so much more comfortable.
No, this is...
But what are your thoughts on USL becoming a rival to MLS as far as so Division One?
We've already experienced this with the USL Super League. We do have another Division One Women's League in the country.
But in the men's... But it's a different situation. The it women's is different. League.
I'm just saying...
The women's game is in a different spot not, than the men's
it's
league.
It's not blowing my mind away that this this is something that they would... attempt. Now, the questions are, will MLS do things to not let them follow through with this? Like, are they going to be hindered in some way by not just MLS, but just
competition? You can make the argument that that's already happening without them being in the top division,
possibly.
Right? I think Indianapolis is a good example. Hold on, let me just explain. Indy 11 has great fan base. They get a lot of numbers out. The atmosphere is wonderful. The club seems to be doing very well. They want to move into a more professional. They wanted to. The Indianapolis market is ripe for an MLS team.
Yeah, yeah.
They wanted to be the ones to move to MLS, as many other teams did. FC Cincinnati, probably, I think, being the most recent one, if I'm not mistaken. Orlando obviously did it as well. And then all of a sudden, MLS was like, hey, we think Indy's a great market, and here's a bunch of owners that want to start a team, and it's got nothing to do with Indy 11.
Right, right.
So essentially burying Indy 11, unless you do something like this.
Well, yeah, and so the difference there would be getting a, yes, MLS circumventing a bid, an MLS bid, is different to me than USL going for a Division One sanction, which is now you're working with U.S. Soccer and making the case that this is something that you want to do. So that is, I think in that case, the MLS circumventing is a little bit more above my pay grade. You know, it's at a higher level of and again, all alleged. I'm not saying that this is something they're going to try to stop, but after reading the article, first from reading the headline, I'm like, it's kind of stupid. What they're going to do this for? Like,
This is the part of me that thought in my mind, this is why I thought, this is what I thought non-plus man. Is I thought you were saying like, bro, this is a waste of all of our time. That's kind of the tone you took when we talked about this.
It's, so my initial, I think I did feel that. It's a little bit like kind of a waste of time because it feels like a thing that, oh, it's not really going to happen. So it's like, I'll believe it when I see it. But I do think, and after reading the article, that there are valid points in that, you know, do I think another Division One on the men's side can work? Maybe. My main thing says no, just because there are so many, like the branding of MLS and how people think of American soccer on the men's side. It's like, yes, MLS, that is our main league. And they treat it like the way we see sort of other sports. And nobody's like really like hyped up about CFL or XFL or whatever. So, but the argument, and before I finish my point, let's just do pro rel. MLS has whatever the 30 teams, maybe they can split it, maybe go to 40 and 20 and 20, and then MLS 1, MLS 2, and then USL championship, and that is like in my brain, I'm like, I could wrap my head around that. That seems like it could work. Maybe why can't USL just work with MLS? Why can't they just say like, you're gonna be Division One and I'm gonna be Division Two, and Division Two, yes, will make less money than Division One, but we will have a sustainable soccer landscape that we can pass on to the next generation. Like that is my dream to happen, but that is not what this is saying. This is basically saying we're gonna make another Division One, and we're gonna do pro rel there because we already have USL Championship and League One and League Two.
It says it's the plans for the future.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
It's not there yet, and from conversations I've had with folks at USL, it seems like there's some owners that are like, "Oh, I don't know." So there's a couple of things that are hindering this. I think there's three really important points for in this move that I think is worth noting. Right. One in particular is that there are tons of markets that MLS just will not be able to serve, right? the idea that you can't, there's only a few multi-club cities doesn't make a lot of sense for me. And I know Europe is a completely different market than the U.S. where, you know, football slash soccer is an obsession. It's a religion, yada, yada, whatever cliche you want to put on it. It's just so much more important part of daily life in European cities than it is in America. So I understand we're talking about something different, but that's not necessary to say that that can't be the case here in the future, right? Markets build. So in particular, what I think is important is we have 330 million people in this country. That is an overwhelming amount of potential market, right? In order to do that with only serving 30 to 35, let's say, or 34 cities, you're not really getting the majority of people. You're just not. So you need these other divisions and you need other leagues and you need, you know, just like baseball has AAA and AA and single A. And some of those teams do very well because if you live in the middle of, you know, Wisconsin, or if you live in the middle of Pennsylvania and not in a major, major city, there is a chance that you're probably not going to be able to drive all the way, or you're not going to be able to bring your family to a major league team. So you could go see the, you know, the Wilkes-Barre Wombats. I don't even know if I pronounced that city correctly. Wilkes-Barre, Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Wombats, whatever they are, the Thunder, you know. Maybe you can go see that, and that's a night out, and you get to have enjoy. Why doesn't soccer have that? Soccer should have that. So, and I know those exist, but what's stopping them from going to Top Flight, to me, really, it's just a, do you have this many people in your city? Do you have this TV contract? Do you have the market share that you need? Do you have all those things that denote you as a Top Flight? There's probably an argument to be had about CONCACAF Champions Cup and U.S. Open Cup, you know, bids, right, for the winner, because now you have multiple first divisions. So there's probably an argument there. But for the most part, number one, markets that are never going to be served by MLS. Number two, development of players. Now you're given so much more incentive for these teams to continue to develop players. We've seen it with Louisville City, which will probably be one of the teams that goes up to the top division in USL, regardless. I don't know what they're going to call it, but whatever. We'll call it the USL Top Flight. Mm-hmm. The teams that go up there, Louisville is definitely going to be one of them. And they've got Josh Winder, Elijah Winder, who just moved to LA Galaxy. There's clearly the ability to find these gems and to develop them into players that can potentially help the U.S. national team. We're going to do that at a much higher rate now, right? Because these teams will essentially be making more money, the sponsorship money will grow because of Top Flight. There's more of that. The third and the most important is that pro rel that you were talking about. This opens the door for that to become a reality. And while I don't think that's the golden bullet, I don't think that's what solves all of U.S. soccer's issues, just the fact that that becomes a part of the sports landscape in America, I don't think we'll ever see it in baseball. I don't think we'll ever see it in NFL. I don't think we'll ever see it in NBA. But there's no reason why we don't have that in soccer, in some aspect.
I agree.
I've always thought the women's league would be so much more well-suited to do it first because of the amount of the amount of marketing opportunity that goes to them, the amount of eyes and ears that suddenly go to that. All these American sports news shows, you know, having to explain to their audience what this means is them talking about you. This is it's a boost button for your league.
Sure.
If the women's sport doesn't want to do it, that's fine. If USL's first to do it, that is a very, this should be a fear of MLS. This should be something that MLS fears, because nothing's to say, right? San Diego paid $500 million for their team. $500 million. USL is not a single entity. You own your own team. You do your own thing. There's no salary caps. You do whatever you think as a business person you want to do, you do. It's very much more American in that sense, right? MLS, everyone share that $500 million, right? Very quickly, those valuations can drop. Very quickly, you're running out of markets that can handle a $500 million entry fee.
Sure.
So there's a cap. There's so much more space. London has 6 Premier League clubs, 20 million people. 6 clubs. Yes, it's a different market for the sport, but we got 330 million people. There's probably a lot of soccer fans.
Right. But
there.
I mean, you mentioned just Premier League, but how many clubs does London have?
30, probably.
Maybe 100.
Well, yeah, but I mean, professional. For professional.
I'm just saying, but that is why I think was it Paul McDonough? I believe is he the president of USL?
I think he's the CEO, if I'm not mistaken.
But he said, I mean, that kind of what is the example that he makes. Like, essentially, the country is just too big. Our country is too big to only have 30 teams be, again, just like an NFL franchises and stuff like that. Like, the sport of soccer is just so inherently different than those other sports that it can only grow when more people have access to it, more inspiration, more, again, and the promotion relegation is, yes, is it a financial risk for owners? Of course it is, but is it?
I argue that if you are behind a paywall, if you're not trying to go with traditional television revenue, there is no loss of income.
And that's a whole, we can have the business sort of conversation. But in general, the promotion relegation around it, the story around it provides so much excitement. You hear me talking about Everton and possibly getting relegated, but that possible relegation leads me to be more emotionally attached to the
game. Every goal means more. We're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah, so it's just like but outside of that, when you think bigger, that emotional connection leads to more kids playing the game, more involvement, more participation, more.
So now you're pro this move.
It's this particular move of just creating a competitive Division One. I'm not pro it, but I am pro what it could possibly lead to, which is a promotion relegation in this country. Yeah. And if they can do it, yes, it'll put some pressure on MLS. It will force MLS to get involved. Like I just said, MLS 1, MLS 2, and then USL under it. Why can't that be the case? That is my hope. Maybe that's what that can lead to. I think we can do it. I like what we have, and I think, you know, this is a whole longer conversation, but I do think what Major League Soccer has done and given a foundation for the sport, I think it's fantastic.
It helped it survive.
Because there was nothing before 1996 or indoor, and it was just like an NASL and
But at the, when 96 came, there was nothing.
There was literally nothing. We've spoken to guys that were professional soccer players that played indoors, and they had no other outlet to play professionally in this country.
They were playing like money games on the weekends.
So it's fantastic what it has done. But yes, they have created somewhat of a monopoly on the sport, and that's not true to the essence of what this sport is, to have one group deciding how everything goes and nobody else being able to be allowed into the club. And that's what I'm hoping changes at some point.
Wow, dude, because you started out so negative and now look at you, bro.
Okay.
You USL, pro truther, bro.
Okay. What's that? Call me Ted Westerveld, bro.
Oh my God, don't whisper that name. You say it two more times, he appears out of this door behind me.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know. Put it in the comments. It's always going to be nice and polite conversation when we talk pro-rel in the comment section. So feel free
to a lot of level-headed
share your experiences. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in.
Isn't it crazy? We're 10 years doing the show and we're still having the same argument. It's amazing. It's insane.
That's the nature of this country. Yeah. You don't talk about fixing problems. You talk about
never resolve the issue.
If you should even try to fix
it. We yip about the issue, baby. And that's how we get paid. So thank you to everyone. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Hit the bell somewhere.
Shout out again to Fafa Pico. Thank you so much for joining us out at Media Day in Miami.
Also, if you're still listening right now, tell one of your friends about the show.
I mean, if you're listening to the show, you probably have no friends, but
we don't need them. we got each other.
You have us.
Yeah, yeah, and we have Fafa.
So we appreciate you taking the time. Make sure you join the Patreon as well, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We have now moved over to Discord.
Cha-ching. Okay, we are full Gen Z-ing right now, bro.
But no, it's been great. We did the soft launch, and a lot of people. So people, if you're listening and you have not moved over to from the Patreon Slack to the Patreon the Gully Squad in Discord, go do that, because some people have not done that yet. So if you go on the Patreon, or if you are in the Slack or whatever, you will see all the messages. In the Patreon, the Discord link is there. So make sure you click on it and join, because the community there is thriving.
We should figure out a way to let people join the Discord for free, but then there's like a section for it.
There is. I've already done that. So we're like in the soft launch beta.
Yeah. All right, we're doing friends and family.
We can let you in the door.
You in, yeah,
but
yeah.
You really want to get to the back room, Yeah. You got
VIP is VIP. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we don't
what goes on in there.
We don't make the rules, even though we literally
make
the rules.
I'm just saying, no black lights allowed.
All right. So make sure you get on the patreon.com/soccercooligans. All right. We'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode. Take care. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Say peace.
Peace.
Love you guys.